Blog Talk Radio.
Then I just turned it with a damn. This is what I am, what I am. Understand, I don't give a damn. Damn. This is who I am, who I am. Man, I don't give a damn. Damn. This is what I am, what I am. And I just don't give a damn. Take me as I am. My G still pumping, sold on the coaster. You know that my Doja coaster. Game over, soldier. I'm cooling. Be on the sofa. Niggas is posers, and I'm the sculptor. Don't mean it, soldier, but fuck the vultures. I feel them the dopeness and proper dosage. I crank up the voltage to get it amplified. Feel it in the ceiling, but still it's some bigger fish to fry. Designed to recline and sip the chateau. Plotting on the bronze behind with a banging natural.
You are listening.
We'll do it live.
Of course, you're not listening live if you're not actually listening live. This is the Pro Wrestling Torch East Coast Cast. It is Wednesday, October 28th, 2015. I am your host, Travis Bryant, and with me once again is our good pal from Central Texas, Cameron Hawkins. Cam, what's happening? Good to talk to you again so soon.
Travis, how's it going, man? Again, it's like we just got off the phone with each other. It's crazy.
It's like we just hosted a show together.
Like weird. Just now, a show that will be on the internet and iTunes and Downcast and SoundCloud and all those fun things. A show like that.
Mm-hmm. A show like that, yes. What's going on? How's it going?
Oh, I'm well, man. I'm well. Trying to figure out some last-minute Halloween details, you know. But other than that, I'm doing well.
As one would. October 28th. Let's give out all the pertinence before we get to gabbing, because there's certainly a lot to talk about. So if you want to call us and talk directly to us, because we certainly want to talk directly to you, hit us up on the Constellation line. Give us a call at 347-202-0103. Once again, that's 347-202-0103. If you can't call us, you can always shoot us an email anytime during the week, anytime during the show. The mailbag is always open and constantly being refreshed. We got a couple, and not even a couple, really. It's one, because one's a weird YouTube video to something that I don't think I would want to see. Clockwork Orange.
If you don't want to see it, Clockwork Orange, you know, gang fight.
Yeah. Like, is this a TNA thing? Hardcore
you've
wrestling.
You've seen this movie, right?
No.
You've seen Clockwork Orange, right? You never seen Clockwork Orange?
I have.
When I was in college, a girl I was very interested in brought that movie over to watch, and I wasn't interested in her after that.
Wow.
Yeah, like, why do you like, no, go away.
And that, but I heard it's like it. A good movie, it's a classic, and all that kind of stuff, iconic movie. It's not good.
Okay.
Or it's just,
it's not even that it's not good, but it's very, when you're 19, that kind of thing makes you uncomfortable. Maybe you don't appreciate art like you should, because, yeah, that was a wrap. It was like, no,
look,
this is very strange.
I saw the movie Kids for the first time my freshman year in college, and was like, you know what I took away from that? Where were these parties when I was like,
oh God,
14? You know, like, what? They just sitting around smoking blunts, drinking 40s? What? Like, I didn't
I'm not,
get into enough
like,
dumb shit.
Violence I'm fine with. I'm really not, unless the context is very, very, like well thought out, and then there's a purpose for it. I'm not a rape on film guy. Never have been. Not that anybody is
well,
a fan of
yeah.
that, but I think it bothers me more than it bothers most. Like, The Hills Have Eyes, like those movies. I'm like, this is stupid. Why is this happening?
Well,
so, yeah,
I see that.
That kind of threw me for a loop.
Yeah. All right, let's, Like, Gmail didn't even give me like a thumbnail for it, and it's not even a link. So I'm going to take that as a sign not to just go ahead and delete
it. Yeah, I probably don't want any part of that.
You know what? Let me undo that. Nomen Nesio. We've gotten emails from him before along these lines, like, hey, look at this weird video. Or, here's Paul Orndorff doing something. I don't know, just weird stuff. So Nomen, yeah, I don't know, maybe next time. And the other email was just Brian from Phoenix saying I'm calling, but he'll send in some big questions later. So get your emails.
Oh, and Brian had seemed to have a very fun time.
Oh, absolutely.
Good to hear about that. Yeah.
And as Josh said, I'm glad we could see the age.
Josh, whose pulls aren't always great, that was a great pull. Like, I'm still laughing about that. That was fantastic.
Yeah, no, it was tremendous. Like, oh, yes, so glad. Like, so anyway, we'll talk to Brian. Let me see, is he on?
Like, I'll have to let him in on the joke because I'm sure he doesn't know.
No, he's
like,
not.
Like, look at your picture again, guy.
Right.
Take a gander at that. Yeah.
He just got that big old smile. Like,
having a ball.
So yeah, EastCoastAudioShow@gmail.com is where you send your emails. EastCoastAudioShow@gmail.com. Twitter is another way to get at the show, to find the show. You can find us at East Coast Cast, twitter.com/EastCoastCast. Let's see what's happening on the tweets. So what? So TNA is having, in their world title series, they're having the Knockouts one, and it's going to be Kong versus Gail Kim. Apparently that's
tonight. I'm not sure if that's the match, but like, does the winner of the Knockouts bracket get to like face the winner of the X Division bracket for a semifinal spot in the World Title Tournament?
Wait! So there's a Knockout bracket and then an X Division bracket,
X Division bracket within the brackets. From what I understand, yeah, it's who comes out of those brackets who gets into the finals. Like, hopefully somebody can maybe fill us in a bit better.
So what are the women
that,
doing anywhere near? Like, why is that a thing?
That's my question. That's my question. I don't know.
Of maroons, man. Just, anyway, ruined my Twitter experience. Because I'm like, oh, Gail Kim and Awesome Kong. That should be,
I could be mistaken on that. Somebody can hopefully update us on that.
So, yeah, so nothing happening as far as too much happening on the East Coast Cast side. Lots of some retweets of stuff that we were tagged in or a part of or whatever. And you can find my personal Twitter at TravLord. And you can find Cam at Seahawk. And it's C-E-E, Hawk. Yeah, Cam, your headline this week.
My headline this week would be the WWE, where wins and losses matter.
At least for a week. Like, you have that as, like, the sub.
Oh,
At least for a week.
That's the joke.
I got to hit everything on the nose, you know.
No, they're throwing javelins at dartboards. But, yeah.
I don't understand why that is in the sport. Like, that would be...
Oh, God.
Great.
Because people value their walls. But, yeah. But, no, yeah, WWE, where wins and losses matter. I thought, wow, that was a very refreshing show to watch. And it really was. It was like, okay, this big event that we had the night before, if you won, you get a chance to have another match. If you win that match, you were in a match to determine the number one contender. It was like, that makes sense.
Yeah.
It made sense. And then the matches were good, too. It was a good show. I really enjoyed it. Not to take anything away from Hell in a Cell, which I thought had some good things about it. But, yeah, this Monday night was a good show.
Yeah, it really was, especially when you consider the six previous Raws, the last two or three in particular, were really bad shows, just either just boring or nothing, just stuff, just too much stuff not making sense. Just boring matches. That's not going to it's not going to keep that third hour or any hour just afloat. And then we get a refreshing wrestling heavy, but again, everything made sense. Everything led to something. A predictable story in Roman Reigns winning the number one contendership, told in a way that you didn't at the end of it go care that it was that you saw it coming.
Mm-hmm.
My only issues with Raw is the fact that they, after the opening video package, and maybe some very quick passing comments, they didn't. There was nothing about Brock Lesnar. There was nothing about Undertaker. There was nothing about John Cena.
Yeah,
that is
like
crazy.
That's
almost absurd.
That one, the big match that the show is built around, that actually was, you know, one of the two Hell in a Cell matches, and then the biggest guy in your company losing decisively, you know, to a guy. Like, this is, these are things to draw attention to. And, yeah, we didn't get, you know, too much of that because, you know, with Cena, of course, it's a conscious decision not to do that. But, again, you hype up this. You feel like you need Undertaker and Lesnar to go this soon in order to boost the value of your brand for the short term. And then coming out of it, you don't make that, you know, your second or third or fourth biggest point. Like, that's a disappointment.
Well, also, when you're – gimmick is if you won your match last night, you get to be in this thing for a title shot, and then Brock Lesnar doesn't want any parts of it. It's like, well, what's that about?
Yeah. We need clarity. We need to understand why this is happening. Yeah.
Okay. So I got an email from Darrell. And it's just an Instagram video of some girls dancing.
Okay.
Not even particularly hot girls. Like, one's, okay, one guy's thick-ass body for sure. And then one's all covered up. Like, what the hell? She's pointless. So, thanks, Darrell. I mean, I appreciate the email on the East Coast Audio Show bag at Gmail tip, but... All right, never mind. Okay. So, good headline. Totally fits what's going on. It's probably the biggest, definitely a big headline, worthy of being a headline. My headline is a little more pop culture related. Stripper trips that end in murder. I'm talking about kidnapping. I'm talking about kidnapping. I'm talking about murdering niggas.
Second.
I'm talking about carjacking. Well, there was no carjacking, but there was in. It certainly was murder, kidnapping, tricking, pimping, hoeing, fucking, stripping. Holy
Ooh.
Shit! If you haven't heard about the damn epic story of the year, it's the most epic tweeted story ever.
Matter of fact,
just,
why don't you go ahead
just,
and tweet that out now from the East Coast Cast account?
Ooh.
Yeah, let's put people on that so they have a chance to go.
Okay.
Oh, man, we can. This will be fun. I'm ready for it. We can talk about Zola's experience in Florida.
Zola. Zola was a G.
Ooh.
Like, you know.
Yeah.
It's like I could see, like taking those steps, there was not a moment. I mean, the whole thing, I wouldn't be in that situation. But, okay, I'm in Zola's shoes. There wasn't a moment where I was like, oh, hell no, Zola, you were just an idiot or you made a terrible decision. It's like, I could see getting kind of
like,
caught up in stuff like that.
Like,
there was not an obvious moment where you're just
that
like.
So soon. Like, after that, like, after the initial. I'm going to go out of state with these nice people. After that, it's just like,
yeah.
Well.
Once you're like, oh, Hooters girl, or maybe was she even Hooters girl? Just a patron. Anyway, Hooters
don't
girl that called me like the next day, like, yo, what up, bitch? Trying to go to Florida to strip? And you're like, last time I went to Florida to strip, I made $15,000. that's tempting. It is,
and then,
epic,
I mean,
and it's long, you know, as far as, like, it's a tweeted story, so
yeah.
It's long, but if you're not
on
the edge,
like,
you
it's well
the entire
told.
Thing. Huh?
Yeah, it's a well-told story in the limited format that she got to tell it. Yeah, and it's,
for sure.
Whew. Like, the best thing about it is Jared. Jared's the best thing about that story, I think, because, like, coming to terms with your significant other being a whore. I guess, you know.
But you're not in Jared's position. Obviously, it's not even coming to terms. He came to terms a long time ago. It's coming to terms that you ain't going to change this bitch.
Yeah.
Because remember, he's like,
you
said you weren't going to do this anymore. You were done with that life. And
have you seen Black Snake
at the same
Moment?
Time, he's just a sucker for love, just so soft and so, like, you know, just,
yeah.
I mean,
have
in a scumbag way, kind of want to do the right thing, you know.
Have you ever seen that Black Snake Moan with Samuel L. Jackson and Christina Ricci?
I have not, but I know that.
Okay.
You know,
yeah. Long story short, she's a sex addict and is going to get it when she needs it, but her boyfriend is PTSD-addled Justin Timberlake.
Okay,
and
real quick,
so,
I'm going to retweet it. It's called the Zola Story, if you missed it. It's a retweet from Club God at Beat King Kong.
Who's going
so
to make a song about this, I'm sure, because that's kind of interesting.
Just to know what you're looking for. So I retweeted it from the East Coast Cast Twitter page. So, yeah, just go to at East Coast Cast and read this story.
Yeah.
Fucking Jessica or whatever her what's the bitch name? Jennifer? Whatever.
Yeah, Jessica. I think
Jessica. What a she's like the dumb where you're just like, what a dummy.
Ooh.
Like every move she make almost is like just and at the end, I didn't set you up. I was up for real. We can be friends.
and the thing is, one, you're actually
we
not capable of setting me up. Two, the fact that you wouldn't be capable of that means we don't need to be friends.
Like,
you don't have the
like
mental
capacity for
companionship.
And tied up, and big African Z, sex trafficking, human trafficker.
Oh,
that we find
God.
Out.
The
yeah. I don't want to spoil too much, but God damn
it. He's his business partner in the sex trafficking. Yeah.
Tremendous.
It's all a real joy. It really is. Oh, God. And then, like, let me turn you on to how the world actually works. Let's put this ad on Backpage and watch how much money you actually make from whoring.
God, it was so from so many perspectives. I mean, and the fact that Z recognized, like, as far as Zola, like maybe it's the Z names, but he was like, and I was like, oh shit, she gonna get smacked up for But he was like, oh. All right,
like,
yeah, let's get in tonight. Let's make some money.
And the thing
$100
is like the capacity.
Like, what?
Yeah, the capacity that Zola actually has for what she's doing. She said they made $5,500, and she was so proud of that $500 he let her keep. Like she appreciated that $500 so much.
But, okay, mm-hmm. Let's on a real life level, more than just a story that happened to somebody else. And then we're going to go to calls and talk about some wrestling. But how do the authority? I mean, they almost have to. Somebody's got to look into this. If that's a real story and people got arrested and it was a big sting and a bust, she said names, places, times, murder. The dude got shot in the face.
Yeah. Because, I mean, even though Z's in prison, it's hey, Z. You want a couple of these life sentences taken off? Maybe get something good to eat. Let's talk names, faces, and places.
I was really. She was bold. Like, wow, man, I this one?
Yeah, like, and apparently, like, somebody put on my Facebook, she's actually telling another story today. Like, oh, you can't have a story as good as that. But I'm ready
and definitely
for
not
the
next. Definitely not the next fucking day. Look, I was so pissed off. Pissed off is too strong. But I was like, what? So Will Johnson, our, you know, Black Dog, this is back in the hell days in the society. Josh dropped the greatest meme in the history of memes, and it was the white coalition, the white delegation drafts Brandon Cobb to, you know, the racial draft with the Chappelle in whiteface as the picture, and we went nuts and shut the whole thing down. And like an hour later, Will posted this. It was to you. It was a personal inside thing about y'all talking about clip-on ties or something. And it was the whack. It was already just a whack meme. Then it was insider. It was like an inside, like, okay, maybe like four people know what the fuck's happening in this thread, in this post. It's like, you should have waited till tomorrow. Or sent that as a personal in the message.
Let it breathe.
Like, the fact that it's a garbage meme just is magnified, and I'm upset. Because it just tried to follow, like, again, the shutdown meme of the fucking of the world.
Like that time the Triple H Randy Orton match was the main event in Mania when it should have been HBK Undertaker.
Yeah. Well, right, and then they did it the next year, and it was nothing. It was a good match, great match, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
It wasn't, like I said, HBK Taker at 25 is the greatest wrestling match my eyes have ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And the next year, 26, wasn't that.
So, it was a very good wrestling match.
Rich from Texas just tweeted me the screenshot from It's Hard Out Here for a Pimp, that movie.
Yeah. Oh, because all four of them, right? Saying...
Zola, the fiance, Z, and Jess.
Oh, I got, like, somebody actually texted me. They were like, I don't do the whole Facebook notification thing. I just thought I'd text you and tell you how much I appreciate that story. Oh, okay.
Nice. All right. Damn, they don't do it that much where they're like, you know, you can say stop notification and you just won't get them, but okay.
Well, yeah, no, but they don't, they saying they don't post about comment stuff on Facebook. It's actually our good buddy Storm. She was like, yeah. But she texted me and let me know that she enjoyed that.
Our good buddy? I don't know my good buddy.
Dre's good buddy Storm? Anissa's friend? You've been to Texas twice, sir. Storm was at the apartment when we went out that night.
Oh, okay.
There we go. Yeah, see, I pulled a Black Dog. That was two inside.
All right, let's open this thing up to some callers.
Wait. And before you do it,
Being
what week it is, I'd like to know each caller's Halloween costume if they're wearing one.
Or if they were, what would it be? Or if they're not, if they could.
That's good too. But I would be.
An adult.
Yeah.
I'd be
Page, if possible. You know, fun.
You know what? Real quick, going back to the greatest story ever tweeted. Made me want to go on Backpage. Like, damn.
Just to see what's cracking.
What?
Just to see what's
cracking. Because I follow this one chick on Instagram who's kind of sorted in that life. She strips and, you know, in the lingo, strip. Oh, you trapping? You just like, oh, I
you
like, that
trapping?
That don't mean what you think.
Not out the
Man, this hotel too nice to trap out of. Like, you fucking right, man.
Ooh.
20 dudes and a night. Bitch made $5,500.
Took 20 bodies that night.
She was so mad. She was like, she gave him the whole thing. I was like, Jess, oh, this dumb bitch. How much y'all make? $5,500? Mm-hmm. Like, damn, you could have said a grand and he'd have been like, oh, all right.
And then, and y'all straight. Oh.
All right. let's, like I said, open this up. And again, the line to call, the number to call in, the Constellation line is 347-202-0103. It's only about 6 minutes per dick. That's hustling. Yeah, well, Zola said, boom, $500. Dudes were paying $500 for 15 minutes, you know, because, I mean, that's just all you got. And they're like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
I'm not laying
right.
around
not...
for 15 minutes trying to catch,
yeah.
you know, get another, you know, take another shot. But
people aren't definitely aren't hitting Backpage to have extended sex sessions. So, yeah, it's let's get in with that.
And then Zito, like yo, you know she just banged 20 dudes last night, right? He just, you know, just to make
and
a point
just,
to Jared. Like,
and just risk,
yeah.
risk his health and well-being just to emasculate Jared. Oh.
I'm like, she didn't and say, then, you know, he threw his rubber on real quick. None of that came across. He just banged.
No, you feel like if anybody's not using protection, you feel like it's – because that's his.
Yeah, right.
And then my man Jared jumping off the balcony and only surviving because he
Oh, I never went back to read that panel. So there's like six individual tweets that didn't show up on Imgur because it was like a broken link. So it was just a gap, and I just was like, okay, what could have happened? But I'm like, balcony.
Oh, so he jumped off the fourth floor. But when he jumped, he got, like, his belt or pants got caught on the railing. So Z pulled him up off of that and then slapped the shit out of him and put him in the car.
Right. I came back. Z gripped him up and slapped him. But I didn't know that he was about to jump off the fucking balcony.
The reason he's alive, he did jump off the balcony, but his belt got caught.
No one, I mean, I understand people that go, this is just some woman sitting around creative, being creative on Twitter. Maybe she's a stripper to add some credibility. Like, oh, she's a traveling stripper. People might believe she used that. You know, but
yeah,
it's almost like I hope it's not true because somebody going
to
come knocking.
I don't
like,
want,
hey,
this,
you
I don't
these
want
questions,
to actually be going through this.
Yeah, well, yeah. We know it is.
Yeah, but I don't want to list this specific instance on anybody. Like, no, I live well. All
right. So I see Shy in the group. Is he not... Oh, there he is.
Yeah, sure.
I
know he has an interesting line or two to drop on this.
So let's... peppermint soap and Kegel exercises. All right, let's bring Shahid on to this... to the program. Shy, what's happening?
What up? What's going on, fellas? Like I said, I read that same story you guys read, and as Tim knows, I know a little bit something about that. I wouldn't be surprised if all that wasn't true, because that life is like that. And I've heard worse, but, you know, that's the story for today, because this is the wrestling cast, not the trap cast. But
trap cast? I think I'm keeping that.
I mean, shit, I'm doing like 8 podcasts a week. I mean, why? I could throw the trash. We never, me and Sizz was supposed to do the Porn Coast cast. That never jumped off. So maybe I'll trap cast. That'll be all trap house music, trap stripping, trapping, tricking, trapping, that whole life. Yep.
Yeah,
I'm the one.
I mean, it's real. Like, these chicks, he both know they take international trips. Like, look. You can make 10 G's for doing XYZ for a week. They go ahead and they're not even like, they just stripping. So they go out there and do it, boom.
At the beginning of that story, you almost kind of thought, like, oh shit, Jared's gonna fuck somebody up. Because he yelling at her on the phone, yo, he come back.
Pay somebody
like, oh shit, they better not fuck with Jared. The fuck out of here. She was, the reason she knew, oh no, it's cool, put him in that raggedy ass hotel and we go make some money. She knew it was sweet. He wasn't going to do shit.
Yeah, when you're about money, then you're not really sweating the morals like that. It's like, look, I can be a bitch ass and have to worry about my pride, or I can get paid. If you're doing that, you worry about getting paid. So it's like, put on your hoe shoes, let's make some damn money.
Oh,
white
she was at the beginning. She was like, damn, yeah. Bitch, we taking hoe trips already? I just met you.
I knew it.
Hoe trips. All right, what's on your mind wrestling-wise, Shy?
What's on my mind wrestling-wise is the unexpected return of Alberto Del Rio. Like, out of all the people that would come back to beat John Cena clean for his belt before John Cena take his vacation,
he was in a lackluster kind of anticlimactic match. 8 minutes, 9 minutes. It ended with a secondary kind of move. Jason Powell said he thinks Cena dog. He said, I never said this, but I think John Cena dogged that match.
He had a plane to catch.
And
I don't
want to
go that far because I've just seen John, as much as you know, we talked about in our last show, Cam, and anytime we get any chance to rip Cena, we will, but dog in a match, I'm not. So I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt that it's just, whatever.
I hear what you're saying, but at the same time, like, if you look at his matches since the day after WrestleMania, like, they've been good to great.
Yeah.
Especially one-on-one matches.
One-on-one pay-per-view matches.
So it's like,
but the saving grace, or the kind of, not saving grace, but the, you know, it's like, him and Del Rio never had memorable matches, even when they were embroiled in their feud. Like, in the middle of their, like, year-long feud, like, they didn't really have any memorable matches.
Yeah. I mean, you could tell by the way Cena came out, like, it's going to be quick. He came out, you know, dancing to the John Cena sucks thing, shaking his hips, cracking to, like, it's like, I'm about to go on vacation to cash them checks. Let's wrap this shit up. normally, Cena, you got to hit him with, like, a tank. He got hit with a kick to the face, 1, 2, 3. It wasn't like he kicked out at 3.1. It was like 1, 2, 3.
He didn't even do the Hogan at Mania 6 thing. Yeah, kick out at 3.1.125. Yeah, make the guy look
good
like
old
a
rap.
He just stared at the ceiling like, shit.
And it's weird because they pushing. It's funny how they pushing him because Cole and everything like that. Somebody, Del Rio came back in great shape. He's never looked better, anything like that. The crowd's cheering him, and he's wrestling, acting like a dickhead.
And the promo he cut either later or obviously wasn't before, but didn't they do something on the pay-per-view promo-wise,
Zeb
or was
did.
That the whole thing on Raw?
No, Zeb came out before. When the pay-per-view, Zeb came out, and I started laughing because I was like, what the hell is this? I forgot all about him. And then he talked. I thought it was going to be like some riff on Trump, somehow, we got to unite the nation because Cena's divided people. Some people chanting Cena sucks. Some people chanting, let's go Cena. We need to heal America. And I'm like, what the hell is he talking about? And then Alberto Del Rio came out.
I was like, thinking, some kind of, not repackaged because he's still with Zeb doing the All-American gimmick, but it's some kind of John C. or Jack Swagger thing. Like, no, he's been getting squashed at house shows the last 6 months. Not on TV, getting squashed on house shows and a random lumberjack when they need, like, something like that. So I didn't know where the hell they were going. I knew my Kofi Kingston pick was out the window. I knew it wasn't going to be Samoa Joe or an NXT person because nobody really fits that gimmick. And I think the shock value was, I think they overestimated because I don't think it went over very well. I mean, initially, like, Del Rio, we hear the music, why are they together? And Del Rio, like, fist bumps or shakes his hand, and you're like, okay. But the next day just kind of unraveled any kind of intrigue because I'm more confused than intrigued because Zeb's talking more of his heel the nation, knock down borders and knock down fences. And then they go to Del Rio, and he doesn't say anything about the relationship with him and Zeb, their past, future, past or future relationship. He just said some generic kind of "I want to fulfill my destiny" kind of nonsense, and he's looking off into the distance, and I was like, wait, so he's a dickhead heel, and now Zeb is the baby face, and they're like, what's going on?
No, they both.
Next America? I was and am confused.
It's the confusion is coming in is because they're playing it like Zeb is playing it straight, like, I'm just trying to do this. and even though it sounds ridiculous, Del Rio's acting like a heel in his promo. He's wrestling like a heel, like, you know, his
but
first
Vic,
match, he smacked
he wasn't
him back
even,
in the head.
He didn't specify anything. He didn't say, ha-ha, John Cena, I took your title, or I'm going to take the U.S. title. To, you know, your little open challenge was nothing compared to what I'm going to, you know, nothing, like, it was just all vague.
But
yeah, you know,
but the crowd behind them. That's the weird thing going in. Like, he's doing everything to be an asshole, and the crowd chanting for him, the crowd chanting C and all that shit.
See?
Like, they want to cheer.
He's playing into it, so blame him.
Yes, I mean, work is like, I'd rather they do something than they just, you know, give the Charlie Haas treatment. Like, oh, you know, Alberto Del Rio. And I like how you get the heel intro music with the old music he used to have slow pace and like that. But then when he won, he did his face music up tempo. Like, I thought only Triple H got that. Two things.
Well,
and just the fact that he's back, like, he didn't leave on, like, you know, we wish you well in your future endeavors. It's like,
no,
I'm gonna sue you.
He slapped the piss out of
the guy.
Yeah. Ooh, I mean, that guy must not work there anymore. But yeah.
There was a meme, and it was pretty on point. And it was split in two, half and half, top and bottom. And the top meme had Del Rio with, like, kind of an angry face and stuff. And it was like, WWE is racist, and I'm never going back there. And then the middle one was Vince saying, yeah, it was three panels. And the middle one was Vince like, we'll bring you back. We'll put the U.S. You'll be seen and we'll put the U.S. title on you. And the bottom had Del Rio with his scarf on, smiling, and she said, "My nigga." Like, like, it's kind of like, well, yeah.
Look, it's wrestling. That's how it be. Like, you know, almost everybody come back unless you kill somebody. Like, you know, Bret Hart came back. Brock Lesnar came back. You know, Sable came back after, you know, suing twice. So it's like, yeah, unless you Jeff Jarrett, you can come back if business works, more or less. And it's always been like that. That's why I'm like, you know, once Bret Hart came back, I'm at the thing where I'm not surprised if anybody come back. It's like that never say never thing. It's like they throw the money at you, and people like money, people like a push. Like, you know, being Alberto Del Patron on Lucha Underground was cool, but how many people are watching El Rey compared to watching Raw?
Yeah.
Or Sinclair. Because wasn't he on Ring of Honor, too?
Yeah, he was. I think he popped up a few times on Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know you brought up the Undertaker. I didn't talk about him. Bray Wyatt talked about him too much with that Looney Tune-ass promo where he thought he was a devil. I'm on my red horse of death, and I'm dragging him through the souls while I'm chewing on the bones in the mist and wreck my beard. I'm like, what? This old swamp Pentecostal bullshit. Like, I'm just done with him. He's like the guy, like, you know what? I don't give a fuck if I catch this L. I'm going to still talk shit. Like, he just, like, he don't need to win.
He's going to get back to Roman when he's ready to get back to Roman.
Yeah. Like, I ain't forget about you, Roman Reigns, but I'm going to talk about the spirit of the Undertaker, and I sucked on his bones as I grabbed the soul on my pale red horse, rotten, and blah, blah, blah. And then Kane come out and catch that L, too. And now I guess,
right, you're acting like you ain't never heard a Bray Wyatt promo in the last 2 years.
Oh, this, yo, I've heard it, and I crack jokes every time, saying, like, you know, at first you say, oh, it's cool, he got the beard, and, you know, Sister Abigail and stuff, and, like, when he first came out, it was different, it was cool, but then you listen to him, like, you know, forget about that bass and that beat, how that beat dropped, listen to the lyrics, like, it's the same old shit, like, gobbledygook, and it don't help when he went, like, once every 2 months, one-on-one, and everybody else has got to be, you know, a gang fight. He got to jump somehow 4-on-1.
He's never
won
a significant singles feud since he's been there. I might be jumping the gun because at first I'm sure they didn't have come in and have him losing. But all his major feuds, Cena, Undertaker, Reigns, lose, loss, loss, loss. Everybody else.
Because he first came in and he was beating people like you know, he had the thing with Kane, and that was dumb, you know, basically trying to set Kane on fire. He had the short thing with Daniel Bryan. They couldn't figure out what to do with Daniel Bryan.
Right, but
you
all
know,
those feuds, he won. He beat Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
One pay-per-view.
Yeah.
I'm sure he beat Kane, but he lost to Cena. He lost to Undertaker. He lost to Roman Reigns. Any feud of any kind of significance, he's going to lose the thing at the end.
I'm just saying, it happened. When you're a man and you're a six and you holler at a nine, don't get mad when that eight beat you to the nine. It's like he's feuding with the wrong people. He's feuding with, like, who you name? John Cena, Undertaker, Roman Reigns. Like, yeah. Feud with Cesaro. Feud with somebody like you can get over on. You're going to feud with somebody that's, John Cena's the, you know, the face that run the place. Undertaker's, you know, old-ass Undertaker. And Roman Reigns is John Cena 2.0. And they feel like, you know, as long as he come out and they bring out their cell phones and turn on the flashlights, you can just cut a
promo. Which is stupid.
Nobody...
Why are you encouraging fan participation like that for a dastardly heel? The fans are stupid. Like, what are you doing?
I mean, why are we listening to garbage-ass rat
music?
People want to be cool. It's like, oh, that's cool. They're going to be on TV. I got my cell phone just like Cletus next to me. They're going to see me, Ma. Like, all you see is a bunch of lights. The lights are off. Nobody's going to see your monkey ass. But you want to be part of it. That's part of wrestling. You want to be part of the show. You want to chant with it because, like, yeah, I'm part of the show. It's cool. No matter if it's a face or heel, it's always been like that.
Most definitely. What else on your mind?
Just, you know, Raw was definitely a good show. Like Cam said, you know, they had matches, and it always helps when they focus on the wrestling, and the wrestling makes sense. It's like these matches are building to something else.
And then the matches
were
good.
You know, yeah.
Nothing stood out.
It's like, you know,
and
then the final four is like, you know, like all the matches for the most part served a purpose. Even like, you know, even Sting.
The one time I turned, they went to commercial early in the triple threat or fatal four way, and I turned to Monday Night Football, and the Cardinals were on a drive to go up two scores with like 8 minutes left in the fourth, something like that, and I got caught up in that drive, and like, oh shit, turn back, and like saw like the final 3-4 minutes of the match. So that middle, I heard when I listened to the update, you know, I didn't rewatch it, but I hear, you know, hear people talking about it. Like, it was a good match. I saw the important part, the memorable part that planted the seed, which was Owens and Reigns in their stare down and, you know, face off. And
yeah,
the money
like
in the Superman punch out of the pop-up powerbomb was really awesome.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, Roman Reigns is getting over. It's like, it's what they've been
definitely
doing
with
slow,
that crowd.
Slow
was,
ass.
It was over
yeah,
in San Diego.
Was a good crowd. Yeah.
I mean, it's over more and more compared to where he was this time last year, or even compared to where he was, you know, like 4 months ago. It's like they've been taking their damn time with him. Like, you know, look, you're going to get Roman Reigns up the ass. So just lube up and enjoy instead of just bitching. Like, it's going to happen. You know, I know y'all didn't like it last year because Roman ain't ready. We said that, you know, he need more than 5 moves and a oorah. So we gave him 3 more moves and, you know, had him with Dean Ambrose. But you're going to get Roman Reigns. Daniel Bryan ain't going to come to save the day. Batista ain't going to come to save the day. Like, Roman Reigns is going to be there, especially with Cena, you know, taking more time off and kind of, you know, rationing down his career. It's like, you're going to need somebody. If it ain't Roman, like, you know, I know everyone's saying anybody but Roman, but it's going to be Roman. So get him ready. And he's in a better position this year than he was last year. So
he certainly is, yeah.
I know a lot of people bitching saying, like, you know, I know Raw was a great show and it was a great match, but, you know,
I got
3 stars
yeah.
for Kevin Owens caught that L, you know. They should have had him beat Dolph Ziggler. It's like, you got to beat somebody.
Right, no. No, the whole, like, He's got to have, yeah, in 3 months or in 6 months, if Roman Reigns the champion and Kevin Owens is in a main event on a pay-per-view facing them, and they're using this as history, hopefully, you know, that they don't just, like, that's going to be, like, an important part.
Yeah, like
you said, somebody got to lose, goddamn.
Yeah. I mean, we can't push everybody at the same time.
Wait, so
everybody gonna be in the same spot.
So it was, wait. Roman, Dolph, and Big E. So it was two heels, two faces. Okay, right. Yeah, you could say you could, you know, Big E, but
no, it was,
that's one of those obvious kind of. He was there just to, you know, because he's clearly the lowest as far as.
It was Roman.
Not TV time.
No, it was, the problem was you had Roman, Kevin Owens, Alberto, and Dolph, and they're not gonna have
Alberto.
Yeah,
say,
and Alberto just won, so you're not gonna have him take the loss, because if he had took the loss, they'd be like,
right,
how you gonna have him beat Cena? He lose his, you know, his first night on Raw.
Yeah,
that'd have been the argument.
Totally.
So, yeah, it's like you either have him beat Dolph, and then it's the whole thing like, oh, you had him beat Dolph, they always burn Dolph, or you have him beat Kevin Owens. And Kevin Owens can take a
loss. That's what happens when wins and losses, like, don't mean much. It's a strange thing, because if wins and losses are everything, and people, commentators, announcers, the fans all know wins and losses, and even in random opening hour match on Raw should mean something. You should move up or down in some kind of ranking or spot. If that's the overall, if everybody's thinking that, a loss doesn't hurt, because, so, again, you're thinking, well, somebody's got to lose, somebody's got to win. Where it is, what does this loss do? It should take you down a down a path of, okay, what's he going to do now? How's he regroup? Is this, what's this, what's he going to do? How does he take this? Instead of, lost, you're just mad because he got a notch in the L column. It's so weird with when you treat wins and losses like they mean something. Losses are less devastating in a way.
It makes sense what you're saying. It's funny, like, whenever people say, oh, wins and losses don't really matter, I'm like, yes, they do. Like, pay attention to the people who really made some why you think Stone Cold was so paranoid? Like, he ain't taking no L just to take one. Like, Rey Mysterio Jr. must have been the only Mexican that didn't do jobs. Used to be the joke, because he used to never lose, except for unless it was, like, a big-time match. Until he got, like,
yeah, he lost, you know, he lost to Kurt.
Yeah, like,
I'm sure he didn't win that match when Big Show tied him to that fucking board.
Slapped him
away.
He
won
that
match. He didn't win that damn match. But whatever. Yeah, Ray didn't.
Yeah, but you know,
Ray
people,
wasn't treated
no.
Like a champion in a lot of respect.
Yeah, Ray was. Yeah, Ray wasn't like a main eventer, but unless he was wrestling a main eventer, he beat everybody else. That's why I think Ray hate him so much. Like, this little ass man beating people weigh 100 pounds more every damn Thursday and Friday on SmackDown for like a decade. So, but like, and then we argue about, like, you know, people mad when Kevin's on loss. Like, you can't say, oh, it's even Steven, nobody gets over, they don't care about winning the losses. And then when your man lose, you care. I'm like, well, obviously important, because if it wasn't important, you wouldn't care that much. So, yeah. It may be predetermined, but you still care. Why do you think I was so pissed off in New York? It wasn't because it rained, because The Rock lost. Even though I know why he lost, and it's good for the blah, 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 and all that bullshit. All I know is Cena won. I told Darlene,
right,
we getting the fuck
still
out
had
of here.
To fucking, we still had to deal for the next, you know, few hours at least. We still had to deal with Dre and his fucking piss yellow shirt, you know, saluting and doing all kinds of other dumbass Dre shit. So, for no other reason, then we had to see his cheesing ass smile for the rest of the night and weekend. So,
I will never
forget
that,
man. Because I certainly enjoyed it the year before.
And
at his apartment. I'm sure the video still exists if you go to youtube.com/TravLord. It's one of the earlier videos in my uploads. It's Mania from 2012 in Miami. You guys were there. I was at Dre's apartment.
Turning up on that boy. He was so mad.
Whipped out the camera and enjoyed myself at him and Damon's expense. So yeah, him marching around in his shell of chair.
I thought he was gonna punch you. But no. Yeah, I'll never forgive Dre. We there in New York, the rock music come out and this bitch ass hides his face.
You gonna put his bury his face, put his
so
hoodie
good.
On,
so
and bury his face in
too.
His fucking arms. Like, I ain't even.
I'm like, darling.
Not, I'm
gonna
sit here
man.
And not cheer. You know, like everybody around me is, you know, celebrating the Rock's greatness. Look at him come out. I'm gonna bury my face in my shirt because I'm.
I want no parts
head.
Of this.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's why we go to WrestleMania for stuff like that. So you guys enjoy the rest of your show. I'll be listening in.
Oh boy.
Trey put his hand down. We got, I feel like everybody has at least 5 pictures of him doing that. It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. It was so salty, like how we were just so spread apart. You know, it just like,
yeah.
In a way, it kind of made, you know, you're able to see, but still, that was kind of weird.
Yeah.
All right, let's.
We didn't
going,
even ask him what he was going to be for Halloween, if he was going to be something for Halloween. That's a damn shame.
Yeah, Sha, what you going to be for Halloween, yo? Shahid.
He's like, I'm waiting for him to put a picture up. He's probably like,
you muted me, right?
No, you back. I unmuted you. I want to ask what you going to be for Halloween.
Oh, I'm going to go as John Wick. All I need to do is find a dead dog. I already got the book.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you want to explain that? Because I've never seen John Wick.
Oh, you ever seen John Wick? No, just go watch John Wick. Don't even explain that. That's a very good movie.
Oh, I got to get this random joke at the hour.
That's the premise. The
45-minute point of the show.
They kill his dog, and he wants revenge.
So what, he carries the dog with him all the time or something?
No, he does not. He's not carrying the dog with him. He buries the dog.
Oh, okay.
It's actually very, very sad. But yeah.
Wasn't sadder than Will Smith having to choke out a zombie-ass dog in I Am Legend.
Well, that's a zombie dog, so it doesn't have a soul anymore. So.
Yeah. Still had to murder it with his own hands.
Yeah, he did. But no, John Wick's a very good movie. I definitely like it. It's Keanu Reeves being good in a movie. You don't know how often you'll get that.
Whoa!
Yeah, essentially. Was he Bill or Ted? Because that's all I think of. Like, yeah.
He was Ted.
He was
Theodore.
Ted. Yeah.
Preston Esquire or whatever.
Yeah. This is like,
I saw
this
part
as much
two
emotion
in the
as you'll ever
theater.
Get out of him. Like, you saw, you know, I saw, I want to say I saw part two
like
on 11, video, but I thought 12. I thought it was so cool. I thought Bill and Ted was so cool.
Mm-hmm.
And now
I don't think to this day I've ever seen all the way through.
Well, the first one's Excellent Adventure, and the second one's Bogus Journey, right?
All right, let's follow up Shahid's call with his favorite East Coast cast caller.
Here we go.
Man himself, Brian Schroeder. Schroeder, man, what's happening?
I'm his favorite caller into the show. I didn't know that.
Well,
in an
ironic, I hate Brian Schroeder kind of way.
Why
in
would
a
he
die
hate
Schroeder
me?
Die kind of way.
Why would he hate me when I just simply espouse the truth? Like the fact that if you watch SmackDown, as they're going to the ad break when the Bellas came out, Nikki Bella did this move where she teared off her shirt, and it reminded me of a Demi Moore movie I saw. What was it? It wasn't G.I. Jane. Oh, yeah, that's right. It was Striptease. It was Striptease, the exact same move. I think Burt Reynolds loved it as much as I didn't.
My God.
Just saying. I'm just saying, the girl's learning those moves somewhere. You don't learn that at Girl Empowerment Club, okay? You don't. You didn't learn that at a book group. You don't. Where do you pick that kind of behavior up? Unless you're on a pop star's music video or in a strip club.
Like Brian
anyway.
Needs to read the Zola. I need a Brian commentary on the Zola story.
Did you read the Zola story today, Brian?
The what story?
The Zola stripper story, trip to Florida?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay. So,
what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, Cam.
What do you want me to add to it, really, though? I was trying to be positive. And the only thing, I'm not espousing their lifestyle or anything like that, guys. I'm just simply saying that the Bellas have picked that behavior up, and so have a lot of the female wrestlers in WWE.
We just wanted to talk about.
We just want to know about the story. It had nothing.
It had nothing to do with wrestling or comparing them to anybody. Yeah, whatever. What'd you think about that wild and crazy story? Number one, do you believe it's true?
I do believe it's true. You're talking about the stripper that killed the person? Is that what you're saying?
Well, he don't even know what
to say. Wait.
The stripper that killed a person. Damn. So somebody else in a text or something told you about this story. That's what it said. Like, oh, shit, it was disjointed. You know how your text can sometimes come in.
It was Brian Johnson. He was going to inform me about this.
So the other Brian, other Brian's filling you in on the IM or something.
So I need more details. Like,
stripper. Well, go to the East Coast. When we hang up or when you're done, go to the East Coast.
I retweeted it.
Because you missed the beginning. That was my headline, and we talked about it for a few minutes. So I'm not going to.
Let me look at it right now, then.
All right,
just retweeted it out. I'm just looking.
Yeah. So what's on your mind, man?
Yeah.
More importantly than strippers on the internet, this is like a that's a thread. Okay, yeah, I'll read this novel.
Oh
later.
Yeah,
this
no, no,
like,
no, you can't like
Harry
quickly.
Yeah, yeah, you can't.
I'll digest that later. My bad, guys.
Yeah, you need to take 20 minutes of your life, set it aside, and delve into this. Get some popcorn, you know. Your gasping shirt.
I just saw the word pregnant at the end. So this is one of those Twitter stories that really leads somewhere, I'm hoping. You follow me?
It does.
All right.
So anyway, what's on your mind?
Wrestling. What's on my mind is what I watched on Sunday. You guys didn't
Wait. Sorry, Brian. Breaking news. Well, not breaking news, but apparently.
Yeah. I didn't read the stripper story, but I watched Sunday night.
Alberto Del Rio. Guarantee is $1.45 million, and that's the Observer is the source on that. His downside.
Woo! Did you guys read the article on how much Hulk Hogan had made in '98?
Yeah, I saw.
Like,
I watched the video.
My God.
Yeah, that was just they literally like let him write. He's like, yeah, they almost let him write his own contract. Like, they didn't almost do anything. They let that man write his own contract. And then at the end, it was like. He said that he almost said it sounded like WCW was still around. He's like, and now the company that he made so much money for is ostracized him. And I was like, wait, what? So
yeah. Wasn't he getting $62,000 a week to be associated with the NWO? So you being a part of this thing that revitalized your career, we're going to give you extra money for agreeing to do it.
Rich in Pittsburgh, who we'll talk to in a little bit. I thought I saw him online. He retweeted Dave Meltzer with the hashtag CCC, hashtag millions of pesos. Meltzer said people will be freaking out about the Alberto Del Rio story in 5, 4, 3, 2, and then he posts a link to the story.
Damn.
Wow.
Why post the link? I can't fucking see that. It's asking for a password and stuff. God damn it.
So why do you guys hypothesize he's getting such a large downside? I mean, that's a good chunk of change for Alberto Del Rio. I don't know. Can you guys really think of any pay-per-views that he sold? I mean,
no, they just need a boost, and they're like, you know, we need you, and how about you know, if downside would normally, but you know, if like a good downside would have been like $750,000, you know, $750,000-$800,000, and they're like, you know, how about you not say ever bring up the, you know, slapping a guy or all that stuff, and that's like a little addendum or a rider for an extra, you know, $600,000. Like,
so
okay.
You think that's WWE admitting that they were somewhat at fault for what happened?
They know they're at fault. Like, they know they foster an environment where a guy felt like he could say that and get away with it. Like, they're very aware of that. So let's do what we can. Let's throw money at it and bring in a guy who, and it's funny for the exact reason that that environment's fostering the guy feels like they can get away with it is one of the reasons they need Del Rio, because he's by default like the biggest, you know, Hispanic star they have, unless you, depending on how you view Seth Rollins. But yeah, he's it.
Kobe Lopez. Yeah, nah,
yeah,
I mean, it,
Kobe Lopez.
Yeah, they don't.
Yeah.
They don't
sound as bad, though. And I mean, even being, and when I say Hispanic, I should be clear, he's their biggest Mexican star, because
right,
like, he is to be that bridge to Mexico.
Yo, they straight, they,
you know,
did straight Charlie Sheen, Seth Rollins.
Rollins.
Not, that means Tyler Black isn't exactly ethnic either. But they were,
I,
they didn't even throw a
should.
Hint. Of give him, you know, when they were coming up with his names, they were coming up with his name, like, they could have, I mean, Lopez is not ambiguous, but they could have ethnically ambiguous kind of, well, I guess Rollins would be ambiguous, but there's something that have a little more, not Lopez, but something, damn, they was just like, nope. But again, he set the precedence as being Tyler Black for however many years.
Yeah.
He didn't give himself, you know, a shout-out to when I boxed for Damon Feldman, scumbag boxing promoter from the Delaware Valley area, because he promoted, because I boxed for him, so that should tell you how much.
Yeah, what?
Yeah, I came out because they didn't want, this was when I was training to wrestle, so they didn't want the audience to know that they were, you didn't know if I knew, if I came out as Travis Bryant, they wouldn't have known. But they didn't want the audience to even get a whiff that we were wrestlers paid to take a dive for his training students or whatever. They just wanted bodies. I came out as Antonio Suarez from Panama City. Even I was like, yeah, I can play a Latino. They won't even let an actual, you know, muddled Latino play a Latino. But anyway, I don't need to get off on it anymore. But anyway, Shrove Man.
I want to ask you guys, though. No. This brings up an interesting topic. I often fight for the female wrestlers in wrestling who are not, are seen more as sexual objects and not allowed to actually compete as competitors, but seen as divas competing for a purple belt or butterfly belt, whatever the hell it is. But my question for you is more on the ethnic lines of things and just in terms of race. Now, you're saying that would you encourage Colby Lopez to use an ethnic name? Because there's a local wrestler here, Arya Daivari, and for me, his gimmick is he plays like the Middle Eastern, like kind of the
Does he do the flying carpet thing that his brother did?
Yes, exactly.
Right.
In fact, I shout out to myself. I'm going to be putting it out tomorrow. The very first wrestling show I ever videotaped, shot, was back in 2001, November. MPW Wrestling with Sick Nick Mondo involved, and Sean Daivari was on that card, his brother. So I've seen
it. He says Bailey's whitewashed too, and I can. But I've seen her mom, so it's, I guess it's her dad. That's of course, her dad's the ethnic one's not in the picture. Typical.
Omit it.
Don't laugh too hard, Brian.
They
but yeah, yeah. So. Yeah, no, I get you.
I'm just saying, though, it, for me, in some ways, it's better to have something that's unique.
Oh, but the question, should
unquote,
he? I mean, obviously, at this point.
Yeah, yeah, he doesn't have to be Anglified,
but,
if you will, but knowing he always is the Persian sheik, or when I saw him at Ring of Honor, he was the Persian playboy. It's like, why does he have to be fucking Persian? Can he just be, it's the old George Carlin joke, he happens to be black. He happens
right.
to be
well,
Persian,
on
but
that
it's not
level,
the fucking main focus. Well,
on that level, you got to be like, hey, Sean Arya Daivari, why are you, you have control over the gimmick that you play. Like, it's not a guy in WWE just like, hey, they're paying me $500,000 a year to play this, and I'm going to do it.
I'm
you
kind of
have to go like, hey, why are you continuing, why are you playing into that? And again, if he's not.
In front of me, he wanted to,
not,
though.
Look,
it's just, I feel
the
like there's
is,
a tide against him. In some ways.
But Brian,
so.
Just because you also have to go, well, he is Persian, and if he wants to play that up as his gimmick, especially if he's not being, if his mom or grandmom or something wouldn't be offended or think he's disrespecting the culture, you know, by doing cheap, you know, cheap heat kind of stuff. But he's just, hey, I'm a Persian and I'm gonna wear this outfit or this hat or this, you know, flying carpet gimmick. I mean, that's kind of cheesy and on the nose. But you know, it's like a personal thing at that level. You kind of gotta be like, hey, man. But again, you can't, especially just as a white guy, go. You can't go too far to the left. That, oh, he can't. Why can't he just be who he is? Well, he is a Persian. That is who.
Well,
he is.
No.
So yeah.
It's just for me, his specifically. I'm not against. I love the Islander. You know what I mean, Kamala, or you know what? That's what makes pro wrestling to me like Street Fighter come to life when all those great eccentric characters. You know what I mean, and that included ethnic and otherwise. But just I don't know. I just wanted to hear your guys' thoughts on hanging your hat on that as a main thing. It's like I would almost not want to. You know, especially
and
it might be hindering him from making it to the next level. You know what
no,
I mean? Because
totally.
Obviously, when Ring of Honor got him, they said, hey, we don't want you to be wearing the head garb and to do the magic carpet thing here.
Right.
So I can only imagine if you went to WWE, a place that
plays
out in Dubai.
No, they would
want to
play it up.
Tours.
They'd come up with something even more over the top. They would actually fashion a thing from Wire.
Fucking shut up, I know. I would just wish they wouldn't. Just let him happen to be Persian. And he's a talented performer, and that's all. Just like Stone Cold Steve Austin happens to be whatever European and
but see,
whatever
that's the thing.
It doesn't matter to me. I just want a kick-ass guy or gal.
Look, Brian, anytime like this issue comes up in wrestling, especially with WWE, I have to often remind people, like, yeah, it sucks, and Slick was a chicken-eating fucking pimp reverend that was totally inappropriate and totally fucking bigoted. But also, if you're not Anglo-American, you are whatever fucking place your grandparents were. I mean, Cesaro can't even. He's got to be Swiss. Yeah, fucking, you know, Sheamus got to play up the Irish part. So even, you know, white people that aren't Anglo-American are their focus gets put on. Oh well, what are you? That first thing you notice, or oh, pale redhead guy with an Irish accent. Okay, we're gonna make you.
I would
wear
say
green,
the same thing
green
about
shirt,
Cesaro.
Dance around with a fucking four-leaf clover. You know, like the easy, lowest common denominator thing that only time you get to be like a character beyond the thing that's on your forehead, whatever your face immediately says to people as far as, you know, gender, ethnic, whatever. It's if you're an Anglo-American, then you can have a deeper character. You can be a viper or a rattlesnake or a dead man or a, you know, you can't be on the dead man Swiss guy. Like, you can't be the Swiss zombie or something, because you would be the Swiss that would be a part of it.
Hey, what about Papa Shango, though? I jest.
Yeah, I mean, it all falls in that whole,
No, I mean, he was dead, supposedly, because, you know, he was a zombie or could.
Oh, he was brought back by voodoo? Okay. And
yeah,
so wait, Kim
was
Chi was
stuff.
The, usually it's like a voodoo master or witch doctor or something that's controlling the person. Okay, maybe not the voodoo doctor himself or witch doctor himself, but like some other, so what, the witch doctor gave Kim Chi the power? Okay, please. Korean Kim Chi or whatever the fuck he was supposed to be.
Are you talking about the guy who was in WCW, NWO versus the world?
No, I'm talking about Papa Shango and whoever managed him. Oh, wait, I'm thinking of the fucking the guy that got his leg foot cut off recently, the diabetes. I'm thinking of Kamala. You said Papa Shango.
Oh.
Because they all
I said
like
Papa Shango because he was dead. Because Papa Shango was the, you know, he was like the boogeyman.
Right,
also be
but
there.
His whole thing still, I'm mixing the gimmick. I mean, but he was a voodoo guy with the, you know, that's the whole thing. That's the whole where zombies thing started, like sangria, voodoo shit, like reanimating or people that are alive, but they're
I just threw him into the non sequitur, really. I was just jesting with his name, but I agree with your point, and that's what I was trying to get to, was like, that's the point, what you just said. But you said it much better than I did, so thank you, Travis. Right on the fucking head. oh, if you're not white, you can't be anything but what you are ethnically, which is so I mean, you can be. There's the rare exceptions, of course.
I'm hoping they don't do that with Nia Jax. Like, is she just going to be the big Samoan lady that comes, you know, or can she just be a
Tamina
Snuka's
fill-in
big,
when they fire her?
Oh, speaking of, she got 20 minutes until NXT. And get to see her ragdoll a couple bitches. So, all right, Shrew, man, we talk to you.
Bye. Okay. Goodbye, world. For
Sorry. Rich tweets, it goes back to the Michael Hayes comment of, quote-unquote, too many gimmicks when a person of color was suggested to have a gimmick outside of his race. Right, black guy, you're like, okay, see, I really like motorcycles, right? So I want to base this whole, sorry, man, it's too many gimmicks. Like, you're like, what? I didn't even, that's the only gimmick I came up with. Like, no, no. And then he, like, touches his skin or his arm, like, that's already a gimmick. So you want to be, like, black biker guy? Like, well, I don't have a choice but to be black biker guy, but I just want to be biker guy. Or, you know, whatever gimmick he's trying to get over. Camp still with us? They're having a camp.
Yeah, I'm here.
Did you pull a Shahid and mute Brian while he was on?
I would never. I would absolutely never.
Why does he hate me?
which is great.
Are you talking in your post?
Yeah, and decided you're a soul sucker, I believe is what he said. I don't feel that way. Not me personally.
Man. Like I said yesterday, like I don't remember what we were talking about. It was like, I just want everybody to be friends. hate when people fight. Like, no, just everybody just kill. Come on. All right, let's keep things moving along and go to. Oh, wait, let me check to see if 623. Is Austin on the line? Nope, but there go 845 like a trooper. Wait, I see a 623. Nope, that's not. So if you're in Arizona or somewhere in Phoenix, 62623 area code, if you want to get on, press 1. And that goes for everybody else. If you want to get in the queue, so I know for sure that you want to come on, hit 1, and that'll bring you in, put your hand up. I know 845 just chilling, so I don't even have to go there. So, yeah, okay, so 623 does want to get on the line. All right, let's see who this is from Phoenix. It's either, it's not Austin. Maybe it's Chuck Taylor. 623, who's this?
What up? It's Chuck.
Yo, what up, Tay?
Shit, chilling.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's crazy. I just hopped on and heard you guys kind of talking about, I guess it was a little bit of racial stuff, like some racism.
You
talking about gimmicks?
Too many gimmicks, brother.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. I'm driving right now, so I'm getting.
Can you imagine
and
a black guy
car.
Or a non-white guy getting the gold dust gimmick? Like, that would never happen.
I mean, Orlando Jordan?
Huh?
You mean
well,
Orlando
he didn't
Jordan?
Get that gimmick in WWE.
True, and he didn't get it. Well. Yeah.
He
got it.
He put some lotion on his chest,
got...
and that was it. It was like, we can't handle this.
Yeah. But, yeah, in TNA, he was, you know, he was that guy. But, yeah.
But, like,
not in WWE. Away. Certainly was not.
Hey, what if Darren Young came back with the Orlando gimmick?
Oh, man. If he was ever going to, there's no way they do that now because they've had him on too many. They've treated him too well, I say in quotations.
But he came out with the Jungle Draws. You remember he came out with the Jungle Draws and he had, like, the crazy pressed hair and all that? Like, the little witch troll hair?
Yeah. Ooh. No, yeah, I certainly do remember that. And they've been...
Wait, he came out with the what?
he had that hair, like he had his hair pressed, and it was like all, like he looked like a witch troll. He had the Jungle Man.
Oh, whoa, when he was Party Boy,
yeah,
when he was doing his Party Boy gimmick, yeah. He had his shit
terrible.
All
at first, I didn't even know that dude was black, man. I swear to God, I thought he had like that Hulk Hogan spray on.
Yo, remember the first 2 years he was around? Everybody's like, yeah, that's John Cena in blackface. Like, come on. Like nobody's, like, seen as whore of a mom. Like, that was a running fucking...
yeah.
Yo, Dre was so mad at that. Like, yeah. Oh, and then once The Rock made, in one of his Rock shows, made reference to fucking Cena mom. I was like, oh, so Darren Young's Rock son. Okay. Okay, word.
So, my question is, where do you think they're going to go with Alberto Del Rio in order for Triple H to have paid so much money for him to come back?
Yeah, because we actually were talking about that. Oh, I mean, I don't know if they have a Mexico tour set up, but whatever it
just
is,
came off
he's headlining it.
Within the last,
I mean, just finished a Mexico tour?
3 months.
Yeah, because I'm like, yeah, when they're going down there, it's Alberto Del Rio, the Alberto Del Rio show. He's going to go, like,
right.
45 minutes with Seth Rollins every night in Mexico. And, I
mean,
right. I don't
that's
know if it resonates.
That's when Kobe Lopez.
That's so crazy, though. I mean, because he's –
Kobe Lopez versus Alberto Del Rio. Champ versus champ.
Yeah, I don't see him winning the World Heavyweight Championship. That would be terrible for them to make him the transitional champion to lose to somebody like Brock or Sheamus. Man, they might do that.
Del Rio?
Think if Del Rio took it from Seth Rollins and then Sheamus came in, you know what I mean? It wouldn't be too bad. Sheamus came in, bro kicked Alberto in the face because they kind of had some heat, like real deal heat.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And then Brock could just come and just
forget about
everything
money in
at WrestleMania.
Money in the Bank is still hanging out there.
Yeah, man. I just want Brock to, like, get the belt back at WrestleMania. That's all I care about. I don't care about the Undertaker
nobody
no more. That's over.
About Money in the Bank.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike when Seth had it this time last year, it was, like, pushed and, like, you cared about that and you were wondering, a sniveling guy. Sheamus, you're just like, I hope it's on Raw and, like, I hope he just gets fended off and we never have to talk about this again. Like, get that fucking briefcase off of him. It's stupid.
I wish they still had two briefcases so that way Sheamus could win it and somebody could cash in right behind him. And just do some real unprecedented.
Oh, shit. Damn.
Hey,
Damn.
Sheamus, dude.
Damn. Ugh. You're right behind him.
Just come in with the SmackDown briefcase and just like. And it would be somebody like Dolph Ziggler. And then Ziggler would lose it at the next pay per view. Like, they just need to do a string of burial matches where people use their gimmicks and just like get their shit to.
No. Anyway, what else on your mind?
Nothing. That was it. Like, I was just thinking about Del Rio, like, pretty heavy. I'm like, what are they going to use him for? Because
I have no clue.
He was insulted, and obviously
they
had to pay him to come back.
Honestly, I don't think they have an ultimate end goal. I think he's just back to be another main event guy. And to say, we got another one back that said he would never come back and blah, blah, blah. Threw a bunch of money at him, and because we're the kings of, you know, I think that's more of making a point of re-signing.
Everybody
him.
Has a price,
and they need, yeah, you know, totally, and they could use the boost. But he's not a game changer. He's not a difference maker. I still don't give a crap about Del Rio. He still has lackluster matches to me. He don't kick and stomp and punch like he punch, you know, trying not to break, you know, a spider web.
But he smacks his thigh really hard, so it sounds like he's kicking him. He sounds like he's kicking the shit out of him.
Well, he's actually better. That's what I'm saying. He's not like soft as pudding anymore as far as his offense goes. But, you know, I still don't care about his matches. I don't see him. I don't remember Del Rio matches. I remember when Dolph cashed in on him the day after WrestleMania. I remember that.
Yeah. Have you guys talked about Raw? I thought Raw was like a good show. It was cool.
Solid
because,
show. Always.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody was fighting for a purpose. I think Well, no, actually, I don't think that. I think they're just doing this till the next pay-per-view. But I hope that they make the matches meaningful, you know, even if they're going to do, like, pseudo-sports, you know what I mean? Give it a competitive, base it in some type of reality. Like, these guys aren't just fighting because, like, oh, I don't like your T-shirt, or all you is French kissing my girl in the locker room, or, you know, like this cat was.
But it made the pay-per-view matter. Like, it was, the outcome of the matches was important, and you want to see it happen more often. You don't, like,
yeah.
Of course, you know, like you said, it being sports, like, you don't necessarily see that being something that happens every month.
Yeah.
Because, you know, sometimes storylines have to play out, but no, I appreciated it. I appreciated, like, wins counting. And it getting you
right.
somewhere immediately. So yeah, no, I'm with you. I'd like to see, if not that exact formula, them do something along those lines more often than not. Yeah.
So
right.
The latest kayfabe news article or headline, fucking hilarious. And the thumbnail, the screenshot they use is perfect. It's Cena in a really slick suit, like a business suit. Talking to a guy in a suit who's got a clipboard, and there's a table with like some bottled water in between them, but it's really fancy and academic looking. And the headline is Cena uses hiatus to complete Thugonomics PhD. So he's bettering himself. He's opening. He's you know, he promised his mom, you know, like football players, basketball players that come out early. Promise my mom I'll go back and get my degree.
And then we're going to find
you know,
out he's
yeah,
smashing
he
Eva Marie on his break.
Look, he want to finish what he started. You know, like, look, people have been calling me the doctor of Thugonomics for all these years when technically I have only a BS and or a master's, and now he can legitimately call himself doctor. So,
that's just because he wants to be over Xavier Woods. That's racial. I'm finna get off, man. That's racial.
All right, Chuck, man. We get on you.
All right, man. Peace.
Oh, wait. What am I talking about? No. I fucked up last week. So you go ahead and give yourself full-on plugs. You tell people where they can find your work and any of that kind of stuff.
Okay. Yeah. My art is on my Facebook page, Lost in the Ink. Lost in the THA Inc. My website is being built right now, so in the next 2 weeks I'll have that up. But you can go to like Behance, which is like my photo portfolio. But most of my artwork is on my Instagram, which is also Lost in the Ink. I changed it from the Tay blankety blank blank blank. You know, you want to be PC. I'm trying to be respectful. You know, Tay black person. Yeah, that.
Yeah,
that's it. It's Lost in the Ink. Illustrations, comic book storyboarding, layouts, and stuff like that. I still give a shout out to Dark City Comics, though, man, because they really, really got a good thing going on, and I'm all about black people pushing indie comics, man. And it's a
yeah,
good
no,
story.
For sure. Check out darkcitycomics.com if you want to see some of Chuck's previous and completed and really
yeah,
good
yeah.
work. So, yeah, awesome. All right, man.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate it, man. I'll holler at y'all again.
No, all right, take care, man.
All right, peace.
All right, Chuck from Arizona. That's in the last 7 minutes of the live portion. Let's talk to... Let's talk to 630. They've been hanging in there. That's who I was going to go to before, anyway. 630, who might this be?
What up?
What's going on, Travis? Dwight from Chicago.
What up, man? What's going on?
A lot. Long time no talk. Really quick,
well,
I don't have much.
I
just
see
need
you on
things.
Twitter and stuff, so that's always...
so I'm sitting down watching WWE live on their network event.
So if you're watching that on like Cox Cable or Xfinity, yeah, not only are you you feel like a dickhead for paying $55 or whatever, but you got to be like, what are they talking about? I don't have
right.
a network. It's not only on anything, stupids.
But I couldn't help but cringing watching Nikki Bella wrestle. Like, and you said this, you were on line with Bruce a few weeks ago, and that was around the time when they had to sit down with the three women teams. Like Alicia Fox was saying, I've been here for 9 years, and then one of the Bellas said, I've been here X amount of time. And you said this, like,
you're
perfect.
7 years.
I've been thinking about this ever since. Like, good as you are. Like, I legitimately fear for people wrestling now. Like, I'm like, oh, you know, like, it's bad to look at.
Yeah, I'm not as down on Nikki Bella in the ring as some are because, you know, she's fine. I just don't think she's fits the bill. Like, you can't be some powerhouse, and it was Jason Powell who always talks about how she's miscast as a powerhouse. When you're coming out there with your makeup and your, yo, her shorts are so tiny. And her stupid hat and just all hot and everything with your tits all under your chin. It's like, okay, if you want to look that way, fine. Play a role that fits that look. But athlete, powerhouse, you know, wrestling chick isn't that, you know, like you don't fit that. That doesn't make
sense.
Then
I don't know.
Like, Charlotte's a powerhouse.
Right.
You know, because she's tall and really athletic. And even her outfits are a little, you know, she's so skinny. She don't have she don't got that ass that where it's so noticeable. Those shorts are so tiny. But they still are. She's even gotten more sexed up since coming up to the main roster.
Then I don't know if you read it online.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm saying, I don't know if you guys read it online, WWE basically signed like half the Tough Enough roster. And I thought your guy Patrick, when he was on with PW Torch, he was towing the company line when he was on with you guys. I'll peep that. But
I
think
I'm
it was Kylan. He's one of my favorite callers. Asked him a question, and he kind of snapped off on Kylan. I'm just like, you don't snap off on Kylan. Kylan's my guy. He doesn't
know. You don't know
who
he is.
Oh boy, you don't. I don't know how much time you spend on Facebook. Plenty of people snap off on Kylan. My God,
really?
Look.
Yeah,
Kylan, this fucking guy, egomaniac. He goes in the screenshot. He said, "I know you people." What did he say? I know you.
I know you despise me.
I know you despise me, and you have every right to. Like, Kylan, no one cares. Like, stop it. Stop it. I know you despise me. No. They have to care to despise Kylan.
That's a part of it, yeah. You have to feel slighted. Yeah.
So I know, Dwight, you know, Kylan, the congenial, guy that calls
stop
into the iPad
and
the East Coast cast and stuff. We know Kylan. I've eaten Kylan's mom. Food, you know, that guy.
Kylan, and I got, Kylan insulted me out of the window of man one time. Like, this is a different story.
Right? At the WrestleMania 29. You just,
sunned me on the way out the parking lot.
Sunned
like,
the shit out
of
me. He's in a big-ass Tahoe lamping and shit. Like, driver, I'm done here. Rolled up the window and fucking skated.
So upsetting.
So,
but yeah, they signed a bunch of
the
Tough Enough
that propaganda Kylan be putting out there.
Is that what it is?
I'm just a nice addictive guy asking wrestling questions.
Yo, I'm checking. I'm watching now. Are they showing NXT tonight? Like, are we sure about that?
Why did the pay-per-view not replay at 11? That's all. I was doing the roundtable with Bruce and Wade, and I was anticipating, you know, watching the pay-per-view at least the first hour as we recorded, but it was breaking ground.
They are pushing that.
They really are. I didn't realize Baron Corbin's been in WWE for as long as he has. Where has he been?
Developmental. He was signed off the fucking practice squad. Like,
he's been there for 3 years? Really?
Yeah. I mean, for a guy that's 3 years in and who's probably not wrestled, you know, I doubt in 3 years he's wrestled 150 weekends, you know, roughly every weekend for 3 years. I doubt it, which is like what most, if you're a random indie guy from any major city, that's getting work. I should, not just anybody, but a name guy. He's wrestling every weekend, if not two or three times in a week. So, and but to be where he is and have passable matches with guys like Rhino and Joe and stuff, like, hey man, 3 years in, that's you're doing a lot better than where Mark Henry was 3 years in, or name your other, you know, guy taken off the street and trained up. So,
That's that's all I got. Oh, it was one more thing. And sorry, my daughter just woke up. She's running around the house screaming.
Yeah, no problem.
I hear her. She sounds lovely.
Sorry. As far as the New Day, you know what? I hated them at first, and they've grown on me so much.
Oh, join the club, man. Yeah. Exactly how
and this was the most predictable thing. Even when I was sitting here not liking them, I'm like, I'm going to like them in like 4 months. Like, I know it. Because it's just, that's the kind of gimmick that they have. It's like, yep.
Sorry.
I'm going to like these guys come, you know, fall. And then here, you know, here we are in summer, fall. Like, damn, these guys are fucking like the highlight of some of these shows.
I mean, the trombone. That's what, there was a meme going around that the trombone was more over than Roman Reigns. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Damn shit.
But that's all I got, you guys.
Cool, man. Talk to you, Dwight.
All right. All right, bye.
Just take care of that baby. Screaming baby. real quick, and we haven't had any of our normal. Okay, there's Mike from Brooklyn. Here's Darrell. But I don't see Willis or Boris. So did you see Supergirl yet?
I'm sorry?
Did you watch Supergirl yet?
I have not watched Supergirl yet, no.
You haven't? Because, when I brought it up on Fan by Fan, I was like, wait, Cam not seen this yet?
Yeah, not seen it yet. I got it right there on the DVR. And, of course, like, the Spurs tipping off right now with the Thunder and NXT and the league comes on tonight. So, yeah, I might get to it tomorrow.
Okay. Well, at this point, you don't have to.
Yeah.
There's no show to have to hurry up and watch it for whatever. It's too late. So, yeah, you might as well save it for the weekend. Shit. No, it was a really good debut, a really good series premiere. I was ready not to not like this show. You know, where Emma get those tiny gloves from? They don't like come all the way to your wrist. They like stop it. Like,
those are kind of cool. Yeah.
Bottom of your palm. I was really ready. Like, oh, I'm not going to like this show. Fucking CBS. You know, they're going to get their hands on a show that should be, you know, that I would. And they did not. They did it. They, like, look, we know the formula. And apparently somebody says the same producers of The Flash or something.
It's the Flash producers, yeah.
Flash producers, okay, yeah. So I'm like, okay, all right. And then I watched it, and it was really good. And I was worried, like, wow, the pilot is, you know, if you watch the commercials, like, she's Supergirl, episode one. And I was worried, like, man, they're going to have to cram a bunch of crap or it's going to be this convoluted kind of, none of that. The story was told, the fact that she was turning to Supergirl, that episode all made sense, and nothing seemed rushed. And some of the characters. I mean, Jimmy Olsen's a handsome black dude that she hit the wapow feeling for. She was explaining earlier, somebody that likes her was explaining, you'll know when you like it, when someone likes you, it'll be that wapow feeling. So when she met Jimmy Olsen, black ass, handsome ass Jimmy Olsen, for the first time, she turned around and walked away from him and was like, wapow. You know, like, whoa!
Yeah.
They're going to have this, you know, this petite, blonde, white woman, episode one, with the love interest.
We're going there on CBS.
on CBS. Like, right. Like, Flash. Oh, okay, CW. Yeah, totally. But.
Yeah, we're
speaking of Smallville, has anybody ever seen Cam and Clark's home Pete? The same
a real
thing?
Piece of shit.
Is that
a real piece of shit?
Like,
Pete,
seriously, what happened,
Pete,
Cam? Like,
head,
why didn't you just be rolling?
Never designed for an edge up ass Pete.
Yo,
like,
he had the Eddie Winslow shape up, yo. Like,
yeah.
how your point's, like, an inch away. How your forehead only, like, 3 inches wide? Like,
yeah.
If that.
Yeah,
like,
why did you... Yeah, and then the corners meet, like, at his nostrils. It's not dope. It's not. Yo, you know that kid's, like, in prison?
Damn.
Like, for dope? Like,
oh, shit.
Sure he was.
Dope,
like,
in the
yeah.
Bushes. Dope in the bushes.
Yeah, man.
And
apparently he knew how to cook it.
He knew how to cook it.
He knew how to cook it.
Oh shit. Fucking Pete Hawkins. Alright, let's alright, let's go to Darrell, and then we're gonna bring Mike from Brooklyn on. But Darrell been hanging in a little longer. Actually, Rich from Pittsburgh been hanging in longer than Darrell, so you gotta be fair. Go to Rich. What's happening, Rich?
What up?
Not much. How about you guys tonight? Hey, not too bad, man.
You know, I'm going to be fantastic as long as you don't say, hey, Cam, you see the Young Bucks guy signed by ROH? Aren't you happy for him?
I didn't need to say it. You said it. You can answer your own question if you want, Cam, but,
no,
you know.
Really quick, before I let you continue, I mean, definitely, like, more power to those guys. Get your money. Always and forever. Being terrible, but get your money. Do your thing.
It was funny because I was going to talk about that in terms of a group of wrestlers kind of like finding that spot and cashing in until hashtag millions of pesos came out.
Millions of pesos. Everybody getting money, man. I'm not mad at them.
Like, you know, Young Bucks wise, they're making money. They're fine. God bless them. They're going to. You know, they're going to do well there. I was going to email you guys with this later, but my problem with them is if they get too uppity, Vince and Triple H are going to crush Ring of Honor.
Well, yeah. Because they have, like, a working relationship now, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, they have it with, Gabe Sapolsky at
Evolve.
Yeah. And if you look back at that stuff when Gabe Sapolsky left, it was, like, an ugly thing. So, like, WWE's already tried to sue them
really
for using the too sweet hand signal. So if they start getting too out of line on Ring of Honor national TV, they're gonna push back and push back hard like the bullies they are.
And you know what's funny? Like one thing you kind of that I hate about those guys that people love, but I do respect. Like they don't really have a reverse. Like once they have their mindset that something belongs to them or that something's gonna work for them, they go with it.
Yes.
Yeah, like what you're saying could really happen. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if you get a chance, just to even them out, if you ever listen, they did an interview with Colt Cabana on The Art of Wrestling. They talk a lot about how they struggled their first couple of years and then just said, screw it, we're going to do what we think is fun, and people just caught on to it.
Mm.
And I give them respect,
yeah,
but
like
how
anything,
they grew on me. I was like, you know.
Like anything, though, when you think something's really fun and awesome, there's going to be people that just, you know, don't get it, don't like it, for various reasons.
Right.